They came to a dusty, stripped-down smart car, one of those tiny two-seat electric cars you could literally buy out of a vending machine in Europe. It was barely recognizable, having been reduced to its roll cage, drivetrain, and control panel. A gang of naked robot Elmos were piled into it.
"Wake up, boys. Time for a demo,"
Perry shouted. And they sat up and made canned, tinny Elmo, oh boy, noises, climbing into position on the pedals around the wheel and on the gear tree.
"I got the idea when I was teaching an Elmo to play Mario Brothers. I thought it'd get a decent dig dotting.
I could get it to speedrun all of the first level using an old paddle I'd found and rehabilitated, and I was trying to figure out what to do next. The dead mall across the way is a drive-in theater, and I was out front watching the silent movies, and one of them showed all these cute little furry animated whatevers collectively driving a car. It's a really old sight gag. I mean, like, racial memory old. I'd seen the little rascals do the same bit with Alfalfa on the wheel and Buckwheat and Spanky on the brake and clutch and the doggy working the gear shift. And I thought, shit, I could do that with Elmos. They don't have any networking capability, but they can talk and they can parse spoken commands. So all I need is to designate one for left and one for right and one for fast and one for slow, and one to be the eyes barking orders, and they should be able to do this. And it works. They even adjust their balance and centers of gravity when the car swerves to stay upright at their posts. Check it out. He turned to the car.
Driving Elmos, 10 hut.
They snapped upright and ticked salutes off their naked plastic noggins.
In circles, drive, he called.
The Elmos scrambled into position and fired up the car, and in short order, they were doing donuts in the car's little indoor pasture.
Elmos, halt!
Perry shouted, and the car stopped silently, rocking gently.
Stand down!
The Elmos sat down with a series of tiny thumps. Suzanne found herself applauding.
That was amazing, she said. Really impressive. So that's what you're going to do for Codacel? Make these things out of recycled toys?
Lester chuckled.
Nope, not quite. That's just for starters. The Elmos are all about the universal availability of cycles and apparatus. Everywhere you look, there's devices for free that have everything you need to make anything do anything. But have a look at part two. Come here.
He lumbered off in another direction, and Suzanne and Perry trailed along behind him.
This is Lester's workshop,
Perry said as they passed through a set of swinging double doors and into a cluttered wonderland. Where Perry's domain had been clean and neatly organized, Lester's area was a happy shambles. His shelves weren't orderly, but rather crammed with looming piles of amazing junk. Thrift store wedding dresses, plaster statues of bowling monkeys, box kites, knee-high tin knights in armor, seashells painted with American flags, presidential action figures, paste jewelry, and antique cough drop tins.
You know how they say a sculptor starts with a block of marble and chips away everything that doesn't look like a statue? Like he can see the statue in the block. I get like that with garbage. I see the pieces on the heaps and in roadside trash, and I can just see how it can go together, like this.
He reached down below a work table and hoisted up a huge triptych made out of three hinged car doors stood on end. Carefully, he unfolded it and stood it like a screen on the cracked concrete floor. The inside of the car doors had been stripped clean and polished to a high metal gleam that glowed like sterling silver. Spot welded to it were all manner of soda tins, pounded flat and cut into gears, chutes, springs, and other mechanical apparatus.
It's a mechanical calculator, he said proudly. About half as powerful as a UNIVAC. I milled all the parts using a laser cutter. What you do is fill this hopper with G.I. Joe heads and this hopper with Barbie heads. Crank this wheel and it will drop a number of M&Ms equal to the product of the two values into this hopper here.
He put three scuffed G.I. Joe heads in one hopper and four scrofulous Barbies in the other and began to crank slowly.
A music box beside the crank played a slow, irregular rendition of Pop Goes the Weasel, while the hundreds of little coin-sized gears turned, flipping switches and adding and removing tension to springs. After the weasel popped a few times, 12 brown M&Ms fell into an outstretched rubber hand. He picked them out carefully and offered them to her.
"It's okay. They're not from the trash," he said. "I buy them in bulk."
He turned his broad back to her and heaved a huge galvanized tin washtub full of brown M&Ms in her direction.
"See? It's a bit bucket," he said.
Suzanne giggled in spite of herself. "You guys are hilarious," she said. "This is really good, exciting, nerdy stuff." The gears on the mechanical computer were really sharp and precise. They looked like you could cut yourself on them. When they ground over the polished surfaces of the car doors, they made a sound like a box of toothpicks falling to the floor. Click, 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 click. She turned the crank until 12 more brown M&Ms fell out. "Who's the Van Halen fan?" Lester beamed.
"Might as well jump, jump."
He mimed heavy metal air guitar and thrashed his shorn head up and down as though he were headbanging with a mighty mane of hairband locks.
"You're the first one to get the joke," he said. "Even Perry didn't get it."
"Get what?" Perry said, also grinning.
"Van Halen had this thing where if there were any brown M&Ms in their dressing room, they'd trash it and refuse to play. When I was a kid, I used to dream about being so famous that I could act like that much of a prick. Ever since, I've afforded a great personal significance to brown M&Ms."
She laughed again. Then she frowned a little. "Look, I hate to break this party up, but I came here because Kettlewell said that you guys exemplified everything that he wanted to do with Codicel. This stuff you've done is all very interesting. It's killer art. But I don't see the business angle. So can you help me out here?"
"That's step three," Perry said. "Come here."
He led her back to his workspace, to a platform surrounded by articulated arms terminating in webcams, like a grocery scale in the embrace of a metal spider.